From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Washington Watch. Another busy day here in our nation's capital. After a year and a half, an order from the Commander-in-Chief to stop using the military as a laboratory of social experimentation may finally go into effect. Missouri Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, a member of the House Armed Services Committee, has details on the Pentagon moving forward with President Trump's policy on transgenderism in the military. And she'll also weigh in on an Army Major General, Kurt Sontag, who we talked about yesterday. He's come under scrutiny after he engaged in religious discrimination against an Army chaplain. The chaplain was later exonerated, but General Sontag's troubles appear to just be beginning. Also, FRC's Kathy Roos will be here with another blatant case of indoctrination by government schools as parents were not appropriately notified about transgender reading time for their kindergarten students. A letter obtained from a parent reveals the school's deceptive tactics. We'll talk about that. And speaking of schools, an Ohio high school student was suspended from school for posting Bible verses on and around her locker. Her pastor, Lawrence Bishop of Solid Rock Church, joins me later with the details on that case. Also, we'll continue our conversation about socialism. It all ties in to what we're talking about today. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. And let me remind you, we're still working on our end birthday abortion campaign. You can be a part of it. We've got several thousands of folks that have already participated in this. Our goal is to reach 90,000 of these little baby thermal hats, the hats that go on to newborn babies, and we're going to deliver them on Capitol Hill. You can be a part of that. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. And also, let me remind you, coming up this Friday and Saturday in Houma, Louisiana, General Jerry Boyk and I will be there for Stand in the Gap, a men's conference, Friday night, all day Saturday, and then I'll be speaking at First Baptist Houma on Sunday. So if you're in the area or you can get there, go to TonyPerkins.com and you can find out more about it. Okay, it's been a year and a half since President Trump made the decision to rescue the military from the transgender distractions of the Obama years. And in 30 days, he might actually get to see that order take effect. With the Supreme Court weighing in and lower court lifting their stays, the Defense Department has approved a new policy that will largely bar transgender troops and military recruits from transitioning to another sex and require most individuals to serve in their birth gender. What a novel idea. Here to talk about this and what it means for our military and national security is Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, who represents the 4th District of Missouri and serves on the House Committee on Armed Services. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it was good to see you on Capitol Hill today. Appreciate all that you do and your leadership role of the Values Action Team, which you lead on Capitol Hill. This obviously one of those issues, but it really crosses over into multiple areas. Not only is this a values issue, but it's also an issue of national security. And you kind of led the charge on this back when this policy was initially put into place, because it's a very costly distraction for our nation's military.
Oh, it really is. It was such a bad idea when readiness has been degraded over the last decade, such that our competitors around the world, I guess we won't call them enemies, but there's a lot of countries that have advanced in their capabilities, and we need to modernize our armed services to make sure that we have the equipment that we need to meet any adversary, meet any contingency. And at the same time, then President Obama wanted to start spending our tax dollars to create soldiers that couldn't be deployed and couldn't fight. It just doesn't make sense. And so I was pleased that the president took these very common sense steps to move forward here with a military that is lethal, that is focused on winning wars and keeping us safe. The DOD, the Department of Defense, testified just a week or two ago that already under this policy, we have spent over $8 million of tax dollars on sex change operations for troops that President Obama allowed to come into our military, and as well as therapy. And, you know, once a person has a sex change operation, they can't even be deployed for over 200 days. It just doesn't make sense, especially when we look at the military being an entity that can be choosy about who comes in. I've had constituents before be turned down from military service due to other physical or mental issues such as asthma, flat feet, bunions. And so it makes sense to, you know, evaluate everyone and say, you know, is it a good idea to allow this person in when they have a medical condition that has been diagnosed, gender dysphoria, and potentially sex change operations that would take them out of the ability to be deployed and to actually fight for our nation?
Congresswoman Hartzell, you make a very good point, which I think those that have not served in the military may not be aware of, and that is there is no right to serve in our nation's military. The military is selective because it has a mission. It has one mission only. That is to fight and win wars, to keep America safe. And so you have high blood pressure. You have physical problems. In fact, there's been a lot of reports about how so much of the American population now that are of the age range of service are physically disqualified because they're out of shape and their health is so bad they can't serve. So the military is selective in who is allowed to serve, and you have to meet certain standards to do so. So this is not picking out any particular class of people. This is just saying we have a mission, and you've got to be able to fit within the parameters of those who can perform this mission to serve.
Absolutely. Military service is a privilege. It's not a right. And it is predicated on the goal of winning the war and defeating the enemy. And it is selective because of that. It's a specialized mission. And we need everyone who comes into the military to be fit to serve, to be able, ready to serve, to not have health conditions that could preclude them from serving.
Last night, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called the ban cowardly. She said the president's revival of his bigoted, disgusting ban on transgender service members is a stunning attack on the patriots who keep us safe and on the most fundamental ideals of our nation. Now, I think, again, to put this in context, this was an 11th-hour decision by the Obama administration on their way out the door to set this in place. It didn't actually go into effect fully during their administration. It was set to go off during the Trump administration. You raised the issue. You sounded the alarm over this when it was about to go into effect. The president finally looked at the implications of this, the cost, the fact that it made no sense, and that's when he changed the policy, and that was a year and a half ago. It's been challenged in the courts. Finally, it will at least be able to go into effect until it's completely adjudicated. But, you know, this is alarming to me that the commander-in-chief making a decision that is in the best interest of national security and those who serve, and by the way, just reversing what the previous administration did on their own, that somehow he does not have the authority to do that. It's mind-blowing to me.
It really is. The commander-in-chief has the authority to do that. And like you said, this did not go through Congress. We in the Armed Services Committee did not debate this. We did not vote for this huge change in personnel policy for our military. Just unilaterally, the president made this. President Obama and Secretary Ash Carter made this decision, made this huge sweeping change. And so it was certainly in the purview of this current commander-in-chief and president and defense secretary to be able to reverse that. And to call this discriminatory or that this isn't allowed is just isn't true, because it was instituted before and it can be reversed now. And I think it is based on fact. It's based on science. It's been based on the policy that we have had in this country until just a couple of years ago,
right.
Where you always focus on soldiers who can be deployed and spend that money on bullets, on armor, on new equipment, new airplanes, whatever we need to meet the threats.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler of Missouri, my guest. She is the chairman of the Values Action Team in the House of Representatives and also a member of the House Armed Services Committee. Vicki, I want to play a clip. This is just so people know that this is not, and I know our listeners know this because this is a topic we've talked about with General Boykin and others, but retired Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff, who is a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research, was on Fox News talking about the president's policy. I want to play, it's a short clip, play clip four.
You cannot join the military if you're non-deployable. We have multiple thousands of medical issues that prevent people from enlistment. And if you're going to allow one group to come in and have surgeries and go through transition, what about other groups? What about other groups with cancer? What about those with high blood pressure? What about those maybe with flat feet? You're going to open the doors that if you allow one group to receive this special treatment, what about the other treatments? The needs of the military actually outweigh the needs of the individual. And that is a common practice in employment law. Discrimination in the military is very much based upon your mental, physical, and aptitude tests.
I mean, that's exactly what you were saying, Vicki.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad to hear her say that because she is spot on. And people are trying to take the focus away from what this is really about. And that is we need every soldier to be able to be deployed. And we currently have the standards, and someone has to meet those standards, not only physical standards, but also mental standards. And there are a multitude of health conditions that preclude you from serving. Doesn't mean you're not a patriot. Doesn't mean you don't want to serve your country, but it doesn't mean that you should be accepted and taxpayers should invest dollars in you to train you, to try to equip you when you may not even be able to be deployed and, you know, fulfill your mission. So this is the right move for our country. We can continue to invest the dollars where we need to rebuild our military. We need that rebuild, that readiness, modernize our troops so that we can meet the very real threats, whether that be from China, Russia, North Korea, terrorist organizations like ISIS or Iran. There are plenty of threats. We are behind on many fronts, and we need those dollars to go meet the threats, not be wasted on surgeries of sex change operations.
I want to quickly, we're almost up against a break, but quickly, another topic that is in another issue in our nation's military that really was brought on by this social experimentation pushed by the Obama years is the attack on religious freedom and the expression. One of the most recent cases being Major General Kurt Sontag in the United States Army going after an Army chaplain for not doing same-sex marriage retreats because his religious ordination restricted him from doing that. It now appears that this tables have turned. This Army general is in hot water for the scrutiny that he came under. How concerned are you that this still exists in our nation's military?
Well, unfortunately, there are too many common examples of this, but it's something we've got to stand up to and make sure our religious freedoms are protected.
And that's one thing that you have a history of doing. And until this is rectified, and it's going to take a while, I think, to clean up from the previous administration, but we need to continue to keep a spotlight on this. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for stopping by today.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and we'll talk more about this continued religious hostility. That it's a cleanup mission. We're going out there getting them as we can. But if you're in the military and you see it, you need to let us know. All right. Indoctrination of our kids. That's next.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
In recent news, we've seen the left's disregard for life. They've gone beyond defending abortion to now defending infanticide. We've seen the push for legislation in New York, Vermont, and Virginia that would allow abortion even on a baby's birthday. And if an abortion fails, to withhold medical care from the baby born alive, causing him or her to die. This is infanticide. In the left's most recent act of disregard toward human life, we saw each Democratic senator running for president vote against a bill that would protect babies born alive. Help us end birthday abortion. On the day of a baby's birth, the first article placed on the baby is a thermal hat with blue and pink stripes. That's our hope for every baby. But there are no federal laws in place to protect all babies born alive from being killed outside the womb. To show your support for the life of all babies born alive, visit endbirthdayabortion.com. For a donation of $9, we'll deliver one baby hat on your behalf to U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to send a powerful reminder that babies should be welcomed with warmth.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Download the app, the Stand Firm app. That way you'll never miss another edition of Washington Watch, and you'll have all the tools of an activist in your pocket. All right, it looked like your typical reading class. Dozens of kindergarten students sat cross-legged on the floor watching their teacher turn the first page. But it didn't take long for the five-year-olds to realize this was no ordinary children's book. Quote, "I have a girl brain, but a boy body," Miss McBride stated. "This is called transgender. I was born this way." Well, that's what happened at Ashlawn Elementary School in Arlington, Virginia, just right outside Washington, D.C. here. Now, this was according to a March 3rd Washington Post article. But here's some questions that now have come forward. Were the parents appropriately informed, and were they told of their options as it pertains to their kindergarten students? Joining me now to talk about it is Kathy Roos, FRC Senior Fellow and Director of Human Dignity. Kathy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I'm glad to be here.
Now, Kathy, we've talked about this before, but this is just more of the indoctrination that is beginning at the youngest ages. This was an effort, a team-up of the Human Rights Campaign and, I believe, the National Education Association, putting this stuff into our schools and doing it in such a way that parents were really not alerted to what was happening and fully made aware of the options that they had.
No, and in fact, when the Washington Post reported this first, they said, they crowed that parents had the right to opt out and no parent opted his child out of this story reading time. Well, the Post has quietly changed that part of their report because our affiliate, the Family Foundation of Virginia, gave a FOIA request to the principals at the school wanting to see the letter alerting parents. And indeed, the letter says nothing about parents' rights to opt out. It just says this is going to be happening. The other thing it doesn't say, Tony, is that the person reading to the kindergartners is a man who now identifies as a woman and calls himself Sarah. That was not revealed to the parents as well. Nor was it revealed that after the reading, Sarah was going to then talk to the children about how he, used to be a boy but now is a girl, and and when the children asked, well, why did you think that you were a boy? And he said, well, that's because society and the doctor and my parents all said I was. But later on, I was able when I got a little bit older, I was able to say that I was really a girl and engage these kindergarten kids. So none of this was told to the parents, and the parents were not told they had any sort of right to opt their kids out of this.
I mean, we're talking about five-year-olds, okay? I mean,
yeah.
And you talk about creating confusion, and I mean, it does not take much to see the deceptive agenda that is behind this of trying to confuse children and lead them down a path that we know is very destructive.
Right. And here's the great irony. You know, a very tiny fraction of children will be confused about their sex at some point in their young life. Very tiny fraction. If these kids are allowed to develop and go through puberty naturally, up to 98% of them will grow out of this.
Right.
But when schools like Ashland and HRC and the NEA, all of whom have an agenda, when they start heaping affirmation on these kids that your confusion isn't confusion after all, it's these activists that will be literally trapping these kids in the wrong body by doing this to them. If these kids are left to their own healthy growth, they're going to grow out of it, 98% of them. So these activists have a lot on to answer for. I just want to say one other thing, Tony, about the Virginia Family Foundation has really been doggedly pursuing this school, and I'm so grateful that they are. They were able also to find out that some of these little children are from homes where English is a second language, but the notice sent to parents was only sent in English. So some of these families, who may be immigrant families, had no idea possibly that this was going on, no notice, much less the ability to opt their kids out. So it's a racket, it's indoctrination.
So how has the school responded to the facts that have been raised now that they did not adequately apprise the parents of their rights to opt their students out?
There's been nothing in the way of an apology or a backtracking. They say everybody knew, and they're sticking to it. They're proud of this, apparently. And, they're not backing down at all, as far as I can tell, yet.
I mean, the American College of Pediatricians, they warn that, quote, when an otherwise healthy biological boy believes he is a girl, or an otherwise healthy biological girl believes she is a boy, an objective psychological problem exists that lies in the mind, not the body, and it should be treated as such. They're doing the opposite with this messaging, that you were born this way. There's nothing that, if you're born that way, you can't change it. I mean, this, as you said, this is nothing more than indoctrination. Before we run out of time here, Kathy, what do parents need to do to be aware of this and to fight back for the sake of their children?
Well, the parents can demand that their children be opted out of any of this kind of thing, even if the school doesn't tell them they have that right. Now, oftentimes, they're not going to find out in advance, and then they're going to have to just repair the damage. But if I were a parent with kids in public schools currently, I would be literally every week calling the school, demanding to know everything that's going to be happening that week in advance. I mean, make yourself a pest. It's the only way to protect your kids. You do have the legal right in most states to opt your kids out of things, but you're going to have to search for what's going to happen. The school's not going to tell you.
Yeah. And you know what? You got to stand up and be, you know, like my wife has this T-shirt that says the mama bear. You got to be a mama bear and fight for your cubs. Kathy Roos, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks for all you do.
Oh, thank you, Tony.
All right. Folks, really, seriously, parents, you need to know what's going on in your children's school, and they're your children. Don't be timid. Fight for them. All right? All right, talking about a gutsy high school student, one who took a stand in her school, put up Bible verses only to be suspended. I'll talk with her pastor next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, an Ohio high school student is speaking out after she received a suspension for posting post-it notes with Bible verses on walls and lockers in response to a collection of homosexual, transgender, so-called pride flags and that decorated the hallways of the high school. Now, in a video that was posted to Facebook last Friday, which has been viewed nearly 60,000 times, Gabby Helsinger explained this. Play clip number one.
I felt the need to write down some Bible verses so I could put them around my school. I put them around my lockers, walls.
Now, the teachers, they took them down, accused her of targeting the Gay Straight Alliance Club members, and gave her an in-school suspension. Now, here Gabby herself explains her motivation. Play clip number two.
I seen that there was people in my school that needed help. They don't need to be living in the confusion of wondering if they should be gay, bi, lesbian, trans, anything like that. I know that God is the only way that they can be healed by that. That's why I did it.
Now, part of the reason that Gabby and her mother, Tina, who also spoke out on Facebook, you know, are bold and clear about their faith and willing to share their faith and not hide it, you know, you always, when you see that, you have to, I always ask myself, I said, I wonder what church they're a part of. Who's been discipling them? Who has taught them and challenged them to be bold in their faith? Well, I got my answer. Pastor Lawrence Bishop of Solid Rock Church in Monroe, Ohio, and he joins us now. Pastor Bishop, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, sir. Glad to be here.
Now, I understand that when you were a young man, you traveled with Professional Cowboy Rodeo Association, so this isn't your first rodeo, right?
Right. That's right.
Let me ask you about this. Were you surprised that Gabby, number one, that she went to school, put Bible verses up at school? Did that surprise you?
No, because my wife, that was exactly what my wife did when my wife was in high school. My wife was the girl that would go to, went to a public high school and wore a T-shirt that said abortion is homicide and stood against, you know, and she went to a secular university and would stand up against the whole class that were, you know, anti-God, anti-creation, anti marriage between a man and woman, anti pro-life, everything the Bible's for, they're against. But so she would be the one that would stand up. You know, if you've seen the movie God's Not Dead, that right. was my wife. She was doing that. So that's the kind of way we do it. We believe that if you're a man of God or a woman of God, you have to know what you're for and know what you're against. Every great person, I challenge any pastor, look in the Bible to any great man of God, any champion of God. They knew not only what they were for, but they knew what they were against. And it just breaks my heart to see pastors and some of the biggest ones in the nation that are stone silent about abortion, late term, or, sorry about that, I'm loading some bulls on a trailer, and that was one that just spoke up. Hope you didn't hear that. But anyway, they're silent on abortion, silent on gay marriage, silent on everything except the happy parts of the Bible because they're afraid they're going to lose somebody. I tell you what, it is time pastors stand up for what is right and stand against what is wrong. Now, look how far we've come. When I was in high school in 1984, a kid wore a shirt to school that said gay is okay, and they made him go home and change his shirt because according to the Word of God, and this is a Christian nation, gay is not okay. It is something that, yes, we love the homosexual, but the Bible is very clear on the sin of homosexuality. And to show you how far we've come, this guy nearly got suspended if he didn't change his shirt, and now we're suspending righteousness and people that stand up for righteousness, and they're forcing us, it seems, or trying to force us to accept the perversion of homosexuality, even in our high schools.
Let me ask you about that, Pastor Bishop. Were you surprised when you heard that Gabby was suspended because she posted those Bible verses?
Yes and no. I'm not surprised at the liberal left about anything that is pertains to God or about the Bible is very offensive to anyone on the left. So I would say, yes, I was surprised that there are not any Christian teachers in that school in Lebanon High School. If there are, they're secret agent Christians that won't speak up. They're afraid to lose their whatever, their jobs or whatever. I tell you what, we like to read stories about David and Goliath and things like that in the Bible, but when it comes time to the rubber meets the road, pastors are so afraid that they've been afraid for the last couple decades that they would lose their 501(c) or C3 or whatever. They're afraid of that. Well, our president changed that law, so now you're allowed to endorse and speak politics from the pulpit. And I wonder what's going to be their excuse now, because I don't think it was ever really that. They're just afraid they'll lose people. But I promise you, and I want to tell other pastors, if you will speak up for what's right and what is wrong, yes, you will lose some people. But the people that come in their place, because you speak up for right.
Hey, Pastor Bishop, we're up against the break. Can you hold on for just a few minutes? I know you got bulls to deal with, but hold on. We're coming right back after this.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
In recent news, we've seen the left's disregard for life. They've gone beyond defending abortion to now defending infanticide. We've seen the push for legislation in New York, Vermont, and Virginia that would allow abortion even on a baby's birthday. And if an abortion fails, to withhold medical care from the baby born alive, causing him or her to die. This is infanticide. In the left's most recent act of disregard toward human life, we saw each Democratic senator running for president vote against a bill that would protect babies born alive. Help us end birthday abortion. On the day of a baby's birth, the first article placed on the baby is a thermal hat with blue and pink stripes. That's our hope for every baby. But there are no federal laws in place to protect all babies born alive from being killed outside the womb. To show your support for the life of all babies born alive, visit endbirthdayabortion.com. For a donation of $9, we'll deliver one baby hat on your behalf to U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to send a powerful reminder that babies should be welcomed with warmth.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, my guest, Pastor Lawrence Bishop of Solid Rock Church in Monroe, Ohio, talking about Gabby Helsinger posting scripture at her school and then being suspended. Now, she was doing so in response to a lot of pro-LGBT messages that were put up in the school. Pastor Bishop, thanks for sticking around. I guess after that last segment we were just talking during the break, I can no longer claim that this is a no-bull zone after your loading bulls during the interview. That's a first, I'll have to say.
Well, I
appreciate the fact that you're very clear about this and the challenge to other pastors, because I agree. I think we cannot be apologetic in terms of apologizing for the fact that there is transcendent truth when it comes to life, human sexuality. It is not our opinion. It is the Word of God, and either we follow Jesus and we follow the Word of God, or we don't, regardless of what the world may embrace. And I think more pastors need to challenge their people. The people in their pews, the people that follow them, that are part of their flock, need to challenge them to be bold and courageous and also model it as the pastor.
Right, right. Well, as goes the leader, you know, so goes the flock. And, you know, when they see the boldness and they know that you just don't talk it, but you walk it, you know, courage is contagious. And, you know, we believe that you know, and I would stand up during the election and everything, and I would say, hey, if you vote for people that are for killing babies and for gay marriage, you are no friend of the church and you're no friend of mine. And, you know, you're trying to undo what I'm trying to do, and don't say you're one of us and come in and worship with us on Sunday when the house is packed and have your hands up and acting like you're one of us, and then you go in the voting booth and you are more loyal to your political party than you are the Word of God. you cannot be a bipolar Christian. And I always say, you know, I don't call myself a Democrat or Republican. I call myself a Christian, and I have to vote according to the Bible. And people say, well, I'm not a one-issue person. Well, that'd be like saying you don't hire a babysitter just because they may be a child killer. Oh, well, that's there are one issues that are deal breakers, and murder of children is definitely a deal breaker, and it should be for everyone that calls himself a Christian.
Yes, well, it's also a defining issue, because we've looked at this in, you know, my 25 years in public policy, and actually looked at voting records. If you find an elected official who is right on life, 95% of the time, roughly, they're going to be right on the other issues as well, because this is one of those defining issues. It's a recognition of the sanctity of human life, not because we assign it value, but because God assigns its value, because it is created in His image.
Amen. Amen. And I was preaching the other day, and a lady came up and brought two foster babies to the altar, and she has like 8 or 10 of them already, and said they were getting turned over to the state, and she asked me to pray for them, and God spoke to me and said, where is the church? Can you really call yourself a church if you're not doing the two basic things that I ask, to take care of the widows and the orphans? So we have an orphanage already in Brazil, a very big one, and we take care of widows in a home that we have on our church property. But God said to my heart, that's not enough. Where is the church? You need an orphanage here on this church grounds. We have 60 acres. It's like you build a family center, a gym, a weight room, racquetball, everything in the world. Build me a place for my baby. So I got up before I had the time to check it out and said, we're going to build an orphanage. And the whole church clapped. And since then, I can tell you, fast forward that was about 8 weeks ago, we've already got part of our licensing done. It's going to be called Restoration Kids Ranch. We're going to build it on the church property. We're going to have horses and ponies. It's going to be a real ranch. And
you're going to have bulls?
I've never seen our church. What's that?
You're going to have bulls too?
Well, no mean ones. If we have bulls, it'll be old nice fat ones like me. yes, sir. And so it's simple. It's simple. You know, read any book in the Bible. The champions for God stood up and didn't just try to make people get a religious massage on a Sunday morning and go home feeling good about themselves, no matter how they're living. We challenge people and challenge them to. I've never heard so many sermons that are against works and pastors encouraging people. Oh, Jesus did it all. Jesus did it all. It's the cross plus nothing. No, Jesus did all of His part. He did not do yours and mine. The Bible, Jesus said, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. So I wish preachers would stop telling people that Jesus done everything and they need to stop trying to do works. The scriptures are full in the New Testament of Paul telling people to strive, run, attain, press. All those are working scriptures, and the devil has turned up the heat times 10, and American pastors are telling people to not do works because Jesus done everything. And this is the kind of thing that just infuriates me, and they're doing it because they found out they can be very successful as far as numbers goes, I guess. But sorry, I guess I've offended enough people now.
No, I mean it is a view of what is called cheap grace. Yes, we are. Jesus
yes.
did it all to purchase our redemption, and that we are saved by grace through faith alone. But out of that, out of that, we serve, and we are called to serve.
Yes.
We are not called.
Exactly.
We're not saved and sanctified to sit on a pew. We are. We are called. We are saved to serve. And you're absolutely right. We need to challenge people to live out their faith, speak the truth, speak it in love, but speak that truth, whether it is in season or out of season. And I am so thrilled to hear of the work to reach out for the widows and the orphans here in this country as well. Pastor Bishop, let me thank you for joining us, and thank you for the evidence of what we see even in your youth at your church, standing firm for the truth of God.
Praise God, y'all. Pray for Gabby, and let's do this thing till Jesus comes.
All right. Pastor Lawrence Bishop of Solid Rock Church in Ohio. Thanks so much for joining us. Find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And, you know, this is exactly the type of thing that I wrote about in No Fear, young people standing up for their faith. And there are many of them all across America. And I want to hear more of their stories because I want to tell those stories because I want Pastor Bishop said this, and I've said it many times before, courage breeds courage. And that's what we need. We need courage. We need courage in the pulpit. We need courage in the pews. We need courage when we go to work. We need courage when we go to school. But I want to tie this into something I've been talking about this week, and that's the issue of socialism. And you say, what does socialism have to do with a young girl, a high school girl, being suspended because she put up Bible verses? Well, it has a lot to do with it. It has a tremendous amount to do with it. I want to go back to, first off, this issue of socialism definition. It's always good to have definitions because I just want to be very clear. Now, socialism is a stage of society in the Marxist theory, which is transitional between capitalism and communism. Okay, so I just want to make sure we're working with this definition. Here's what I want to point out. The reason that I say there's a connection between what we see happening in schools with pushing God out and literally persecuting and prosecuting those who are openly Christian is because socialism, communism, cannot stand religion. I mean, to live in to live as a Christian in a communist nation is to live with competing loyalties in the eyes of the communist. You know, communism demands, and I use that interchangeably with socialism, it demands allegiance, but so does Christ. Because religion threatens their authorities, the totalitarian dictators, whether it be communist or socialist, regulate religion and try to abolish it altogether. Now, historically, communism and atheism have worked hand in glove. Remember Karl Marx? He referred to religion as the opium of the people or the masses. Now, while Lenin asserted that a Marxist must be a materialist, which is an enemy of religion. So there is this very clear notion among the socialist, among communists, that there is no room for religion because that's a competing allegiance. Now, when you remove religion from the public square, you suppress it, you marginalize it. See, you know, when a child puts up a Bible verse and all of a sudden they're suspended, well, what do you think what message does that send to other children? Or you have children at lunch, and this has happened multiple times. I've been involved personally in some of these cases back when I was in office where a grade school student bows his or her head over their lunch in the lunchroom silently, not verbally, just silently praying for their meal as they have been taught at home to give thanks. And they are called to the principal's office. What kind of message does that send? Well, it sends a very clear message to the other students of don't do that because you get in trouble when you do. And so it's this stigmatizing of religion for the purpose of suppressing it. Now, I'm not saying that every administrator and every teacher, some of them just blindly follow these government school guidelines. But the guidelines are often put in place intentionally by those who do want to suppress religion. And as a result, this stigmatizing, this suppression, creates a vacuum. And this is where the socialist, transitioning to the communists, where they're able to take advantage of this because what happens when you push out the morality, the religious base, things don't work as well. As we've been talking about that this week with our capitalist system, that capitalism, unbridled by morality, is not a good thing. It can get off track. And so you have to have moral guidelines, which are self-imposed in many cases. We can't, the government can't, I mean, China's doing it, but you can't watch people all the time. They have to self-govern. That's what makes a free market system work. That's how it remains free, is that people govern themselves according to this transcendent truth, this morality. But when you push morality out of the public square, there's no longer any bridle. There's no longer any, well, yellow lines or guardrails. And it's easy to veer off and careen over the side. And so then that's when the socialist and the communist and others advocating for those worldviews come in and say, well, look, this capitalism's not working, so we just need to replace it. Well, the stage has been set by suppressing religion and morality and stigmatizing, in particular, the Christian faith. And that's why we need to be very bold in standing fast and firm for our freedoms as Americans. And that's why it's important. I may not agree with every, you know, everything that's said out there by every pastor in America. And, you know, look, I understand we have our different theological holdings, and there's nothing wrong with that. I appreciate those. But the one thing we should have in common, number one, is what we were just talking about. I can fellowship with anyone who says that, agrees that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But then we also, I think, need to agree that in America, we have a fundamental freedom, the freedom of religion. That's the ability to live our life according to our faith. And our obedience to live out our faith as Christians under the laws of this country that are to protect those freedoms, and the call to live faithful to Christ is what spreads the gospel. And if we shrink back and if we grow silent, that vacuum is created for something to come in that will deprive future generations not only of the freedoms, but really of the ability to know the truth. And in this hour, this is why it is so critical that we share the gospel. Now, I don't want to be, you know, we need to speak truth, but we need to speak it in love. And that means we speak with a redemptive heart. Our goal is not to win an argument. It is to win the hearts and minds. But you can't win when you're silent. You can't win people over when you're not willing to speak truth. I am grateful for students like Gabby and pastors like Pastor Bishop who challenge their people to live out their faith. I pray for more pastors. In fact, pastors, that's one of the things we do at the Family Research Council. We've got our Watchmen on the Wall network of pastors, and you can be a part of that. In fact, you can join us in May for our Watchmen Pastors Conference. You want to find out more about that, go to tonyperkins.com. All right, out of time, but thank you for joining us. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.